Welcome to The Good Stuff with the Sonoma County Wine Growers. I'm Virginie Boone alongside Carissa Cruz, President and CEO of The Wine Growers. We're here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine. And I think we were dancing so much, I almost missed the cue.
I know. Well, and I was going to say, and share wine and share the vibes.
And yeah.
And today's whole show is really about talking about wine and culture and really sharing wine.
Absolutely.
Which we do every week.
Wine is fun. Wine is joyful.
It is joyful.
Wine is community.
It is all of those things.
Yeah. So you're going to be bringing wine to other places.
New York City. The Big Apple. Yeah. So we're headed to New York this week. It's actually really fun to start the kind of this transition back into promoting the region. We a little bit take harvest off, but as that's kind of winding down, it gives us a chance to really invigorate all of our partnerships and get back out there. So really excited. This Saturday, we are actually partaking in the Wine Spectators New York Wine Experience, which is just an incredible showcase of their 90-plus point wines. Consumers can try, you know, wines from around the world, but literally some of the best of Sonoma County. And we are doing a lunch takeover on Saturday. So 800 to 900 consumers at this wine lunch, and it's all Sonoma County wines. I get to be up on stage for a minute speaking. 5 minutes, I think.
Okay.
So I speak fast.
Make it
so
count.
That'll be 10 minutes worth
count.
Of content in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So I'll do my best to talk about the region. And then we have 8 winery partners with us. So we're literally the whole lunch is coursed out and paired with Sonoma County wines. And we're showcasing different AVAs and different varietals. So with us is Iron Horse. We have Kivera showcasing their Sauv Blanc. We will be there with Copan doing their Chardonnay. Rémy Syrah, which is a total hit. We had him in a couple weeks ago. Love his Syrah. Pedroncelli, with their Zin, St. Francis with their Merlot, Rodney Strong with their Cabernet, and then Dutton Goldfield with their Pinot. So it's literally like a who's who of Sonoma County wines.
This is a lot of wine.
And it's a lot of wine and a lot of consumers. So I think it's going to be super fun. And whenever we go into a market, you know, we try to do as much of a takeover. I don't know if anyone can take over New York City.
That's a tricky one.
It's a big, small area, but we are looking to activate with the New York Metropolitan Club, which is just a great connection we have through one of our board members, Monica Mehta, who joined us as kind of a public member and is just an awesome human and also one of my best friends from undergrad and a long-time friend. And so she's connected us with them. And then we also run around and meet with as many journalists as possible to tell the story of Sonoma County. So it's going to be a jam-packed week.
And always a beautiful time to be in New York City,
it is.
I think. October.
I love the fall in New York. I actually really love Thanksgiving in New York as well. I mean, I just think the ice skating rink opens and the tree goes up and it's cold.
Parade.
Yeah, lots
Snoopy
of hot chocolate.
Sometimes
Snoopy.
One of our favorites.
Shout out to our friend. Is he still living on your watch, by the way, your Apple Watch?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So just check in.
I am not abandoning him. No. But no, I mean, 800, 900 people.
Huge audience.
Having a chance to taste that many Sonoma County wines is pretty impressive.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, having written about Sonoma County and doing this show, I mean, every chance we get to show the diversity of what we can grow here and make is a really great opportunity for us. So, I mean, to be able to showcase fantastic world-class bubbles alongside Chardonnay and Sauvignon Blanc and Pinot Noir, Merlot and Cabernet, and I think, and so on. Syrah goes on, Zinfandel. So I think just that chance to have all Sonoma County wines and show all the varietals that you can get from one wine region is really exciting and a really important part of our story.
And so will some of the winemakers be there as
well? Yeah, we're getting joined by a lot of folks. I think kind of the rush of harvest that really, you know, happened in September has allowed a little bit opening of schedules. So I don't have the final list with me, but we do know there's representation, at least from all the wineries, that will be joining us and they'll be able to be a part of it and we get to share, you know, materials with everyone, little takeaways. So it's going to be a fun week. And I haven't been to New York in a while, so it's always kind of fun to go back to New York City. If I can go to New York City once a year, it's a nice little excursion.
At least. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just different there, right?
It's different. So, see a show, maybe have a great meal.
Totally. And then love coming back to Sonoma County, though. Yes. Love my space. Love the great air. Like, love being amongst the vineyards yes. and our rural community and everything that is so blessed about this place. So I love to go. And more importantly, I love to come home.
I'm with you. Okay. Well, you have a great show. When we come back, we will introduce our guest. Good stuff with our guest in studio today, Kimberly Charles, president, founder of Charles Communications Associates, and newly involved in a very important initiative
yeah.
called Come Over October.
Thanks.
So welcome, and thanks for coming over this today. October to the Good Stuff studio.
Thank you for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
Awesome. Okay, so well, Kimberly and I have known each other a very long time, so I will try not to get too silly in her presence.
Mm. We do share a passion for France and California.
We do. Mm-hmm. We do indeed. So maybe we just start a little bit with your background, kind of the, yeah. you know, what Charles Communications Associates is, what it does, and then we'll kind of segue into Come Over October.
Fabulous. Thank you. Charles Communications Associates is a strategic marketing agency, and we focus on the wine industry, although we have a number of nonprofit clients both within and outside of the wine industry. A big pillar of our focus on that end is education. And that was sort of my foundation in the wine industry. And I'm the daughter of a teacher, and I was taught from a very early age to be curious. Mm-hmm. And so when I got familiar with the world of wine living in Europe, I got the bug. So we're based here in San Francisco, but we do global work, mm-hmm. and we have a virtual network. We kind of were early ahead of the pandemic and had a team that spread out through the world,
wow.
which is pretty great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you were ready to go.
Ready to rock.
yeah. Well, and that gives you an interesting perspective on what is happening in the wine industry beyond California. So, you know, how do you use some of these things that you've learned, or how do you go about learning more?
Well, one of the things is, of course, the tracks that one can take on wine certification. Back in the 90s, one of my sort of career goals is I was a little bit stuck where I was. I was loving the company, loving the brands, but I was like, I need some more stimulation. So I pursued the WSET diploma. Mm-hmm. And that was a fabulous journey. And, you know, the reason I did it was that I always like to try to be an authority on a subject, or at least if I'm not cognizant of all the details, know the people who are. Mm-hmm. So I'd like mm-hmm. to be a resource. And I also like to connect the dots. So an educational journey to me is really a great place to start. It is by no means mandatory to love wine, to appreciate wine, you know, to share wine. But it does make for good storytelling, and we all know that with wine. You know, yeah. as someone once said, we're in the memory business. And I think that's very true.
For sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We talk about that a lot, just that time capsule element of certainly from a grower's perspective, mm-hmm. too, just every vintage and the mark that's left from the farming that happens. And then that ends up in often multiple bottles.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, I had the great opportunity to go to Europe while I was living in New York working for Cobrand Corporation. But I felt a call to come out here. And I wanted to be closer to the farming process and the production process. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to smell that fermentation in the air.
You so know, good.
This fall time of year, it's always fabulous to have that. And it's great to talk to winemakers and wine growers. I never tire of it.
No.
You know, I have a fair amount of boots in my closet. In fact, one day I took a picture. I was trading the high heels for the farm boots from New York City to California. It's pretty great.
That is pretty great.
I do love
yeah.
that.
That's yeah. a big switch.
It is.
But you've never looked back, which is also very cool.
Yes. And, you know, I will say this. I love telling New Yorkers, because I go back for work, but I love sharing more about California. And I find that as sophisticated as New York is, it could learn a lot more about California. Go deeper.
Hear, hear.
Yeah.
I have fought that fought myself yeah. mm-hmm. For many years, because, right. you know, so many publications are based in New York. And and they don't necessarily understand what we have here and what we're doing here and all the people involved.
And I'm always surprised that there's such a focus there on local, except for wine.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I would consider California way more local to New York. At least it's in the same country.
It is.
Than some of the imported wine that comes in. Yeah. So I know that's always, it's always been a tug, I feel, when I'm out there. I'm like, I love that I know that, you know, where the food came from, where the cheese, where everything on the plate is from. But then you import wine. And that's interesting. I think, you know, try all the wines of the world, but certainly consider even the wines of Virginia and the wines of New York City. They're real regional partners, but then certainly California.
Yes. Yeah. And I think California influenced New York from the standpoint of really putting an emphasis on the farmers markets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When I lived there in the 80s and 90s, you know, you'd have a small market in Union Square, but now they're all over the city. And that's kind of brought along as well sort of a focus on regional New York State wines, which people like Pascaline Lepelletier is really behind and helping advocate for. So I think we've actually had a really nice imprint on New York in some ways. I'd like to say California could take a little credit for it.
Yeah.
I think we can. And we will.
You heard it today. Officially taking credit on the show.
All right. Well, let's, I mean, with that, you know, that foundation set, like, let's talk a little bit about this new initiative come over October. What is it? What's your part in it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We want all the details.
Yeah. We like to call it a campaign. And just to back it up a little bit, it is the first campaign born out of a company that is called Come Together, a Community for Wine. And that is a mission-driven organization. And our goal with that is to continue to remind people why we love wine as founders. And I'll talk about that in a second. But also the historic significance of wine. And that may not be as relevant for perhaps the younger drinker. Maybe that's not as sexy or exciting to them. But I think really the nature of sharing at a table, the nature of being able to tell a story, whether it's about the wine or about your personal life. As Karen McNeil likes to say, the sort of person who conceived this whole notion, a wine bottle is 750 milliliters, and that's just enough for two people to enjoy a bottle together over a meal or just as an aperitif. So that's quite perfect. The reason for it was that we felt, you know, that the wine industry has definitely come under a fair amount of threat of late. We're not all, we're not unaware of that. There's a generational shift going on with respect to drinking habits or consuming habits. And we felt that also there's been a fair amount of negative press discouraging people from drinking wine. And we feel in some ways that wine has sort of been lumped into the overall alcohol category without a consideration of its other significance, much of it 9,000 years old. So
strong roots.
Yes, yeah. Very strong roots. A beverage of community, a beverage of ceremony, a beverage of gathering. So we felt that it was time, much like Dottie and John from the Wall Street Journal days when they came up with Open That Bottle Night and how that got people to take that dusty bottle out of wherever it was being stored and open it up and make that occasion special instead of waiting for an occasion, a special occasion.
Yeah.
Just, you know,
the birth of the show. That very nature.
There you go. Yeah, oh, that's why I'm glad to hear that. Yeah. Yeah, I need to tune in more often, so I will make sure to do that. But yes, so we wanted to take that notion of bringing wine to the center of the conversation, to the table, and magnify it.
Mm-hmm. And so talk a little bit about Karen McNeil for people who don't know her. Mm-hmm. She's Napa Valley-based, longtime educator, writer, author of The Wine Bible. What am I missing? She's involved in so many things.
Yes, she's a lecturer. Karen and I met my very first year in the wine business 40 years ago in New York. And she was actually the only woman covering wine at the time, at least in a reportage way. There were authors out there like Harriet Lembeck and others. But Karen was very early to the party, and she wrote her first wine Bible in New York and then moved out here. Same sort of calling, I think. Felt like California was a great place to be, and she wanted to be closer to the production process. She's working on her fourth edition of the Wine Bible.
Crazy.
Yeah. She's tireless. Karen is just extraordinary. And, you know, she's...
Talk about the Wine Bible for those who might not be familiar with this.
Absolutely.
All-encompassing, as you would imagine, book.
a must-have resource.
Right.
I mean, it's just absolutely indispensable, and especially as she has updated it. I mean, I can't imagine the amount of work that she puts in, but it is just that one resource that I think anybody interested in wine needs to have, mm-hmm. because it's very relatable, for one thing. She writes in a way that I think makes wine accessible and more fun and colorful than some other texts, you know, of old.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And it covers the world of wine. So I think, you know, any question you have, you just
flip through.
Yeah. I would consider it in the top three resources one should have if you're only going to mm-hmm. have a few. You know, the Oxford Companion perhaps being another. And depending on your interests, there are many other texts, but a map related book is probably a good idea.
Yeah.
But yes. So, and you're absolutely right, Karen. Loves wine. She just got back from South Africa and also Germany. So she keeps herself very keen and at the cutting edge of what's going on. Because as you well know, as soon as you write a book, it's out of date. So you've got to kind of keep it fresh. Yeah. So she wants to impart that same passion to her readers and to people who are curious about wine with mm-hmm. an inviting way.
And so I've seen her speak a little bit about this campaign that you have launched together. And some of it came really from last year, and we're going to have to take a break in 2 minutes, but some of it was really came up last year when Sober October, sort of some of these things that happen regularly now about Dry January, Sober October, and her
reaction to it. What are these things you're talking about? Why would anyone do that?
Well,
I do not understand.
I had to look them up, but they weren't in the wine Bible.
They were not
enough.
In the wine Bible.
So,
none of my friends are talking about that. I'll just be honest now.
nor are mine. But it really was a reaction to some things that she saw kind of on social media and in the press and sort of just even maybe in her conversations in the wine industry. And so she just decided to tackle this head on.
She did. And, you know, Karen is not shy. She's quite bold. She's a redhead, number one. And, you know, as I mentioned, she was sort of breaking boundaries in New York back in the 80s in the world of wine writing. I think Karen was deeply discouraged that the choices for people were being made by others, at least through the information they were digesting. You know, alcohol isn't good for you. Well, wine is alcohol, but it is many, many other things. And so she was quite incensed that this narrative and dialogue was being overtaken, and that we were in a very dangerous position of people just sort of buying it, you know, lock, stock, and barrel, to pardon the pun.
But just reading the headlines and nothing more.
And saying, well, we better just stop mm-hmm. altogether. And so she called me, and she called Gino Colangelo in New York, two communications pros who she felt she'd known a long time. She trusted our unbiased opinion. She knew that we would be truth tellers. And she said, do you think this campaign has merit? And we said, yes. So here we are. You know, we're 4 months into it, and we're really going great guns. We've had incredible support globally as well as locally.
And so why October?
Okay, a few things. Number one, everybody knows with October that OND is probably the most important selling season for mm-hmm. many, many people.
It's October, November, December.
Yep.
Yes.
OND. End of the year.
Exactly. Thank you, Carissa. Thank you for acronyms. I know they can be really misleading sometimes. But yes, so that's part of it. The other part of it is, you know, many of us are traveling now. And so the opportunity to actually gather tends to come with cooler temperatures. It tends to come with events that bring us together, like sporting events. Mm-hmm. We know there are a lot of sports people involved in the world of wine. And, you know, the cooking, too, like being able to do long, slow cooking and enjoying that with a bottle of wine. So that is the main driver for the actual campaign, and we plan on making it annual.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, and talk about it, because I think this is super unique, because I think we tend to compartmentalize ourselves. Thus, I'm sitting here supporting Sonoma County, which is, you know, supporting the farmers here. But what I love about this campaign is that you've reached out to just regions and winery businesses around the world mm-hmm. to be a part of that. This is really a global wine movement that everyone can see themselves in and play a role, big or small, on their own social, on their own website. So it doesn't have to be, you know, you have a lot of money to invest. It's just come along and be a part of this solution and movement together. So I so appreciate that. And what kind of went into that sort of foresight, or I guess, or invitation.
Yeah, thank you so much. You know, it's quite interesting. A large majority of the people who've joined us have called us, as opposed to us going out and saying, hey, would you join us? I think the industry, and I myself, as I said earlier, I've been a part of it for 40 years. And I think by nature, it's a bit of a competitive business in a healthy way. You know, we tend to, as companies or individual brands, compare ourselves to others. We're always doing competitive tastings. But I feel like the industry has always needed something more unifying. Mm-hmm. And this, because we are doing this as founders pro bono, and because it has clearly struck a note in people's hearts.
Absolutely.
They've been on board. So, you know, sponsors such as Lyft said, how can we support? We would love to be able to come on board and help people who are going to tasting rooms or people who are, you know, traveling together. So from the wholesalers down to small brands, we're at now at this point 170,000 in support.
Oh my God.
Yeah. That is just crazy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, and I will say, I mean, I'm much newer to this business, neither one of you, than I'm sitting behind this microphone with, but I mean, that is unprecedented.
Mm-hmm.
In anything I've experienced of the wine industry coming together as a real community, which is how we see ourselves, mm-hmm. but we don't often have that, like you said, that joining movement or tentacle that we can sort of latch onto to hold us together.
And clearly we were in need of it.
We were, so absolutely.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more with Kimberly Charles. Stuff with Kimberly Charles talking about Come Over October, and might be just the right moment to come over with a bottle of bubbles that you brought.
She came over today with bubbles, as I think everyone's going to do all month long.
Yes.
So, I mean, we should open that up.
Wine is joy.
Let's do it.
Yes. Bubbles.
Oh. Okay.
And bubbles Delicious. Are a lot of joy. And I should have brought the bubble bell today.
I know.
I'm having huge regrets, but I'll go home and ring it a lot.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah,
there's no better sound in a restaurant, isn't there? And I think it's the most viral thing out there in the wine world. When somebody hears a pop and they haven't made up their mind yet about what they're going to order, all of a sudden you start seeing bottles of bubbly everywhere.
And it's a party, and everybody just relaxes.
Who can't make up their mind about ordering bubbles? I'd be like, yes, I'll start with bubbles, and then I'll take my time to figure out what else I want. So I'm a bubble girl.
Our work is never done.
It's never done.
It's never
done. More people to convince.
It's never done. It's never done.
All right. Thank you so much. So you brought something that is Sonoma adjacent?
Yes, it is. In fact, this is the ultimate perfect wine for the political season because it's right between two regions that are quite famous, Napa and Sonoma, and it's right over the border and encompasses both counties, which is fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
So this is Domaine Carneros, and this is the Cuvée de la Pompadour. It is a Pinot Noir-driven rosé, 60%, 40% Chardonnay. It is named after a famous salonnière, and it's interesting because a lot of people, when they talk about her in history, usually talk about her romantic skills. However, I like to talk about her intellectual capacity.
Isn't that funny how that works sometimes with these historic women?
It's like, true.
Well, she got around.
Yes, exactly. I'm dying to read your story about Veuve Clicquot. I haven't had a chance to do that yet.
Yeah,
I know you did
right.
a story about the film.
I did.
Yeah. But yes, she brought the arts to the court in France, to Versailles, and she also brought champagne. And so this is an homage to her, and it's a beautiful pale pink, and it's crafted over at Domaine Carneros, which is run by Remy Cohen, fabulous CEO.
A fabulous person, yes. And that a long history at Domaine Carneros of female leadership.
Yeah, indeed. And Eileen Crane founded the chateau. She was commissioned by the Tétanger family to build it. She already had one property under her belt in terms of that. Interestingly enough, she started out in the lab, not the lab. She was in hospitality at Domaine Chandon.
That's
and
right.
she had a master's degree in nutrition and said, I would love to be able to go into the winemaking lab. And they said, well, we really want to keep you here in hospitality. But she found a way in and she ended up going to Davis and then becoming not only winemaker, but founding CEO. And then she passed the reins over to Remy 4 years ago.
Right. Yeah. There were not a lot of women allowed in the lab, I think, for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. To break some barriers for that.
Yes, Donnie Dyer and mm-hmm. a lot of the women of that era were really groundbreaking.
Yeah, trailblazers.
We have a lot to thank them for, that's for sure.
Okay, well, we'll drink to that.
Cheers.
We'll drink and cheers.
Cheers.
And drink to that.
Mm-hmm.
Cheers. Mm-hmm. All right, so I'm going to take a sip. Well, I'll mm-hmm. take a sip after you take a sip so that you can answer the question.
Oh, yes.
Which is,
time your sips.
Power tasting.
I know. I'm trying
power
to
tasting. Yes. I like it.
Yes.
I like it.
So you mentioned that this groundswell of support that seems to have, you know, from day one, like started to help with Come Over October. What are some of the things that are going to be happening? What are the, how are you going to put these people to work?
Sure, absolutely. Well, right now, as of this moment in time, we feel that we've reached about 500 million folks. A few things that
that's
are happening.
That's
insane. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. That's
yeah.
That's like not, that's no small number.
No, I know. And we've really been very assiduous about making sure that they're proper and precise. But a lot of things are happening and so many to share. But just to give you a few examples, a winery, for instance, is putting a DTC card in their club shipments. And this is Ridge Vineyards.
Oh,
and
nice.
Of course, they're fabulous. They have a whole link to a blog about how to entertain, how to open a bottle of wine. Share your shipment this fall with your friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
oh, I like
normally
that.
You put it away in your own cellar, but why not just open it up and share it with people? So that's pretty cool. Texas as a whole state has decided to make their normal October wine month Come Over Y'all. So, yeah.
Perfect.
So the entire state, all the different subregions have come together and they are putting the promotional material into their tasting rooms. And just to give people a little bit of block and tackle ideas, you know, if you are in the trade, we have a portion of our site where you can download free assets, which are like table tents and posters and mailers and things that can really help you spread the word. So we're trying to get people to be as creative as possible, and they're sharing ideas with us, which are really phenomenal. Total Wine came on board really early, and 274 stores are going to be promoting Come Over October, starting October 1. And this is going to be fantastic. We're also invited to the Congressional Wine Caucus to present in front of our two chairs, which is amazing. Mike Thompson from mm-hmm. California, Dan Newhouse from Washington. So we're trying to get members of Congress to come together. I just mentioned the other day to Karen and to Gino that, you know, we have red states and blue states, but when you pour it together, it's purple, which is the color of a really great red wine.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Let's remember that.
Yeah, absolutely. Wine brings people together.
Say, the Congressional Wine Caucus,
yes.
They're so amazing. We meet with them every year and host them for a reception every year. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have a great experience.
Oh, indeed.
Yes.
And right here in Sonoma County, Jackson Family Wines, who's been a great supporter of our campaign from the get-go, they're doing a number of events at their properties in Sonoma County.
Let's hear, because our listeners can go.
Yeah,
okay.
Let's see. So Saturday, October 19th from 1 to 3 p.m., there's going to be a harvest hangout, and that's going to be a little walk around the garden, glass of wine at each station with a little bite, live music, custom fall wine packs that people can buy, garden tours with Tucker, blind tasting station so you can kind of test your little tasting skills. So that's pretty cool. And then through the whole month of October, and don't quote me, you have to go to kj.com/events, but they are planning on offering free tastings for two at a number of their properties, both in Napa
Amazing.
And Sonoma. So yeah, that's one of them. And then there's going to be a fall festival with La Crema, and that's also a live folk music, Americana, sort of pumpkin patch. There's going to be an autumnal floral arrangement class.
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
You know, just ways of bringing people together. That one's on October 12th. And then for the whole month of October at various properties, they are offering this free tasting for two. But you need to check out the details. Mm-hmm. I don't want to misspeak.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, but do you know what I love so much about the campaign is that it's so simple and yet so far reaching. Mm. I mean, just the idea, and Virginia and I talk a lot about it on the show and with our guests, of just open that bottle of wine. Wine is such a great thing to share mm-hmm. in general, and to have that common experience, part of culture. And so to really celebrate that and really invite and encourage people to go meet their neighbors, invite friends over, go out with another couple for dinner and share a bottle of wine. I think we more than ever need the invitation to connect.
Mm-hmm. Oh, without a doubt. In fact, I just got a little bit of goosebumps from you saying that, because I think we're like just on the same wavelength here. The cover story of Bon Appetit is food and togetherness this October.
Yeah.
And then last week's New York Times, a recent New York Times magazine cover story talked about the loneliness epidemic.
Totally. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of this did come out of the pandemic, it and did. A lot of people sort of developed these a bit more isolationist habits. Yeah. And I think that they're yearning for good company and yearning for conversation and a simple invitation from a friend to come over or even just sit on your front porch, which
Absolutely.
I love to do.
Yeah. Yes.
I live in the city. I live in the Mission District. I live in an old Victorian, and I sit on my front porch sometimes. And I like to think of myself as sort of like a New Orleans person, where yeah. it's like anybody passing by that you might want to say hello to, you never know. They might want to come up and have a sit.
I think we're going to put a little camera on your patio, on your porch, and we're just going to see like how much wine you put out, who you invite to like pop in and hang out with you, how many empty chairs there are, how
yes.
many full chairs there are.
There you go.
I think we're just going to, you know, be like, what's Kimberly up to?
It just starts with a sit.
It just does. It starts with a sit.
It
sure does. A sit
and a sip. A sit and a sip.
That's all you need. Yeah. I mean, that's where it goes.
There was a great restaurant in Verona, Italy. I'm sure you all probably heard that publicity campaign where they invited people into the restaurant and they said, if you all put your devices aside, we will give you a bottle of wine to enjoy. We just want you to actually look at each other, talk with each other.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Oh, yeah. I have to say, even though I'm in the communications business, I try really hard to be present, you know, with friends. I think that's really critical because we can be easily distracted and there's good reason for it, but we tend to be a little over addicted to our devices.
Absolutely. But I do think wine is the perfect anecdote for that because it does invite you to slow down, to share for sure, and take a break like we're going to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like that.
That was very sweet.
Back on with our guest Kimberly Charles talking about come over October and sitting, sipping, enjoying. But obviously I would think that, you know, beyond so the October itself, there's all these events planned. There's a lot of trades materials that people can go and find to kind of join the movement, if you will. Beyond that, are you hoping to you said it'll be an annual event, but how are you gonna kind of keep people engaged in between?
Well, number one, we want to be able to report back to people how the campaign went. So we're being very careful about KPIs and how many people are we reaching. And we are forming an advisory board for the people who are our patrons when they have given us this lovely amount of money. We want to get their wisdom. We know that we have creative ideas as a group, but how much better could it be with collective whiteboarding on it?
Mm-hmm.
So that's our step after that. We plan on making it an annual event. There's nothing like the very first, of course.
Yeah.
And we expect the same level of enthusiasm, but we feel that it's incumbent upon us to keep it fresh, to keep it current, to be adaptive as much as possible. So we're quite excited. We may even come up with another event in the spring. We have not yet figured that out, just only because this has been like a rapid fire tennis balls coming at you at the net with all the things we want to respond to and manage. So we're excited. We're excited about what could happen in the spring. We've had a major wine industry supplier say to us, we'd love to talk to you about something. We're trying to be very nonpartisan and non-exclusive. It's really important to us that we include as many people as possible.
Yeah.
We're open to creative ideas.
Well, I was going to say, what I love about this is that it's actually the hope. I think the wish, the vision is to really transform a culture or maybe bring back a culture, I should say, because I think it was all there. And now, I mean, especially as you mentioned through the pandemic, it's eroded to some degree just this connectivity and people in real life, not, you know, just on Zoom. Not that that's bad. It's good to stay connected and that's a whole new way. But
yeah.
I mean, I'm really hopeful that even as the campaign winds down, formally, that the behavior remains.
Absolutely. And it's interesting about your point with respect to the culture. Yes, I do think that we've been really pretty measured and creative about having wine and food as part of our lives in the U.S. And I've seen in my career us go from sort of a simpler understanding of, let's say, European ingredients to a much more sophisticated with all the cooking shows and all the things that have been brought into our living rooms, which is great. I do believe, as much as I love tech, that it has actually kind of accelerated things to a certain degree. It's made us less mindful. And I think a good RX for our culture is to be more mindful mm-hmm. and to get back to the simpler things. And so technology has been a friend and a foe.
Right.
And yeah. I think the message here is really to, you know, to converse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I do think people are feeling burnt out from technology. Mm-hmm. I do think people are looking for these things to grasp onto of like, okay, well, I could do something different tonight than scroll my phone or
right.
just watch a device. Bring people over.
You know what's funny? I'm a daughter of a naval officer, and I always say it's great to be able to navigate by the stars, because if your GPS goes down, you want to know how to
yeah.
do it old school, right?
Seriously.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, totally.
No, just the art of conversation.
Well, yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, appreciation of music on in the background, of just your surroundings, the air. I mean, I just think there's so much that goes in with that pause moment and shared connectivity, mm-hmm. that shared moment. So I'm super excited. We were thrilled when we saw the announcement. We were excited to talk to you about it. We're excited to have you on the show today.
So nice of you to invite me.
And to look at all the ways that we can, you know, support what you're doing, do our part to invite our friends and our community over here in Sonoma County and beyond, and share the message when we travel, too.
Well, please don't tell everybody, but whenever I tell my friends to come and visit wine country, I usually say, take a left, not a right, when you're going north.
We'll take it.
I love Sonoma County. I just love the farmers here. And
you are on air.
We're not editing that out.
No, we are not.
Snippet that. And
you
like,
heard it. Official word.
It'll be when you're running, you'll just listen to that.
That's all I'm going to listen to.
Motivation.
Well, Kimberly's like, I do want. No.
Yeah. In vino veritas. That's all I can
exactly.
say.
Exactly.
Yes.
Here,
absolutely.
Here.
Okay. I think, unfortunately, we're due for another quick break before we wrap up the show. Cool. Did you have one last thing to say?
Oh, I just wanted to say that, you know, a little message of where you can find out more information mm-hmm. in www.comeoveroctober.com, and also the same three words together on Instagram.
Great. Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much for joining us.
We'll be back in a quick minute.
Are wrapping things up here on The Good Stuff with Kimberly Charles and Come Over October. We're excited about Come Over October. We already
are
already
it.
Halfway there.
She came over.
She came over in October. She came over. We drank wine.
Check.
We talked about wine. We talked about other things.
Yes, we did.
I mean, it's all you want.
And that's really the premise, right? So, I mean, what, Kimberly, what should people do that are listening, just to sum it all up?
I would say, invite your friends, invite your neighbors, invite family, whatever you may want to do and make an occasion special. I always like to say that. Don't mm-hmm. wait for anything particular. Yeah. Just have people come together and have them bring food to pair with your wine, and bring wines that you can explore together.
Well, I think that is the perfect setup for our Tuesday night Good Stuff wine, if I've ever heard one. That's the best lead-in ever.
Oh,
good job, Kimberly.
Man.
Thank
yes.
you.
Oh,
you're kind.
So what are you drinking, Virginie?
Well, I mean, I'm drinking Bubbles
yes,
from Tomei
yes,
Carnero. So
yes.
it's getting me thinking that maybe next Tuesday I'm going to break open some Iron Horse, and I'm thinking maybe their ex-brute.
I love that one.
Any Iron Horse, but that's what I'm thinking right now.
Well, since I've just invited myself over mm-hmm. in honor of Come Over October, I look forward to that. And I'm actually going to bring some Hartford Court Pinot Noir.
Oh, yes, please.
Yeah. And I think I'm just going to do the Russian River Valley. We're, you know, wrapping up harvest.
Delicious.
So I'm just going to do that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that sounds delish. Well, I will round it out with a still white. Big fan of Rod Berglund's Gewürztraminer from Joseph Swan.
Nice.
Love that winery. Love the wines coming out of it. Love Rod. He is truly a god in a way for the
yep.
Sonoma County and for the wine world. So I love that wine. And I know it's a little early because I usually love it with my Thanksgiving meal, but.
Well, you do it now and then you do it then.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. There are no rules.
Just buy
is what we're basically
Thank you.
Saying.
Thank
there
you.
Are
yeah.
no rules.
Buy a case. That's all we ask.
Well, folks should definitely check out comeoveroctober.com to learn more about the movement happening in October and how we're all working together to literally change culture and increase connectivity in this world. And don't we need more of that?
Yes, we do. Cheers to that.
Yes.
Too. All right. Well, from Sonoma County to wherever you are, remember to drink the good stuff.
Cheers to that.
Thank you.